Our emphasis for this month is on addiction from a very earthly, worldly, politically correct perspective. Addiction is seen as a medical thing that just requires treatment. Sometimes it's combined with what is called therapy, but for the most part, that therapy is some type of interactive session. Sometimes it involves just letting a person spill, you know, just tell me what's in you, tell me what's on your mind. But the body of Christ does not subscribe to ministry help that is just allowing a person to empty. God helps people by replacing what's in them that's not good with something that is good. If a person is filled with depression and they begin to empty out depression, Jesus gave an example that when a man, a vessel, becomes empty, even if it is swept and garnished, it's open. It's available. God wants to fill people, number one, with himself. He wants to take out a stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. He doesn't want to just take out the stony heart. When you think about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, Book of Galatians, all of those things are things that God wants to pour into us. The works of the flesh are the things that God wants out of us. And my teaching in the Word tonight is really going to be emphasizing the church's answer. So we need to make sure that under all circumstances, when we are dealing with the afflictions that the world has, there are people in the world who are trained, who are developed, and in my opinion, for those who will not be open to God, it may be the only help they can ever. They may not believe in God. They may not ever be open to God. They may feel themselves too intelligent for faith. But God wants the church to just be the church. Amen. When it comes down to ministering healing, we don't come with instruments for surgery. We come with the power of God. Glory to God. We come with what the church is equipped with. And I do need to make sure that we go on record. The church only needs to be the church. The world is good at being the world. The church just needs to be the church. Jesus didn't tell the disciples, go ye into all the world and find the tools of this world to talk a person and rationalize and reason with them. When there's some enemy at work in them, he told the church, cast out devils. Amen, somebody. And then he told the church to minister the Holy Ghost, minister the Spirit. And when we minister the Spirit, those who are void and empty within can receive joy unspeakable and full of glory. They can receive the power of God that can change a heart, change a mind, change a desire, and bring mighty, mighty deliverance. And so that's the assignment of the church. And so it is, it does need to be clear that when the church responds, and the world always wants to, and you hear this on many, many fronts, is you hear the world saying, you know, the church needs to be doing this, and the church needs to be doing that, and the church ought to be having this kind of program, the church ought to have that kind of program, and the church ought not be all involved in this, that, and the other, because we don't need all of that. You just need to take that money and do this, that, and the other with it. And what the church needs to be at peace about saying is, you know, McDonald's doesn't do Wendy's. They do McDonald's. Hello, somebody. Cock of the Walk, in case you know about that one, they don't do pins. They don't do hamburgers. They do their own menu. And the church has got to be at peace with telling the world and responding to the world is with, you all know how to do that. We know how to do this. You work what you got to work, and we'll work what we got to work. Glory to God. Far as the church is concerned, use your knives and scream and holler and call on Baal as long as you want to call him. But when you get through, glory to God. We're not calling Baal. We're going to tear down Baal's altar, and we're going to build an altar to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Glory to God. And we're going to let the God that answers by fire be God. That's what the church is going to do. And so very often the church gets intimidated when it comes down to this arena of addiction and this arena of abuse. And the church wants to try to be the world. Amen. And we don't have to be. Part of the ministry of Harvest Celebration is to touch lives with love. That's the church. With hope, that's the church. With direction, that's the church. Because we're not only going to lay hands on you, we're going to take the word of God and provide some direction for life. But we are going to lay hands. Glory to God. We're going to lay hands. We're going to call on God. Hallelujah. We're going to dance. We're going to shout. We're going to praise him. We're going to do all the things that the church does. Why? Because the world is looking for their stuff to work. The church is looking for their God to work. Amen. And so we're looking to our God to work, and that's the approach that we must take to ministering healing and ministering deliverance. Amen. Is it true that sometimes people that we minister to may need to go in for detox? The answer to that question is absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. But the church must not take the position that we forego the prayer of faith that saves the sick and the Lord that raises them up. The church doesn't set its agenda aside. This is our specialty. We minister the power of God. If you walk in any one of these hospitals, you find out that they'll send you to a general practitioner. And when that person gets through, said, I'm going to send you to this specialist to check this part out. And I'm going to send you to that specialist to check that part out. I'm going to send you to the other specialist to check that part out. And then they're going to send you to the pharmacist so he can dispense medicine that comes from one or all of those. And then they're going to send you to this other person who can help work on a rehabilitation. They're going to send you. So in other words, they send you to where the help can come from. And the church must understand that we are part of the help that humanity needs. And we are a significant part of it. Amen. Amen. For those who might say, well, just let them get prayer and we pray over them, speak in tongues, and we fall all out on the floor, and then when they get it like God's got it for them, they can get on up and go. Well, I want you to just hear me all the way out on this. When James began to teach about faith, he says, I'm not going to really be walking in faith if the way I approach a person is I say to the hungry, go and be fed when I've got bread for them to eat. Jesus ministered to thousands. And the Bible says that even with all of that anointed ministry that they received from Jesus, they got hungry and they fainted by the way. What did they need? They needed food. Amen. They needed something that God had created to help man. Now, medicine is one of the things that no matter how much they do in the lab in order to develop a structure and to develop the kind of things that make those particles hold together and be able to get into your system and dissolve with a certain rate of dissolving. All of that comes from something God made. So no matter whether it has come by intake of food, added with the power of God, our position has got to be like Paul when they were on that ship and they were out there for a long time and they were fasting. The storm was just bad. And the Bible says that somewhere during that event, Paul uttered these words, eat is for your health. So while we have all of these things that we do in the house of God, we should not minimize the other things that God has made. Amen. Amen. That's why when we pray, we said, Father, we thank you for our food. Bless it, sanctify it, make it wholesome and nourishing for our body, not diseases. In Jesus' name, we receive it with thanksgiving. We pray over it, asking God to bless it and make it good for us. Make it healthy for us. Make it wholesome for us. Now, addiction is something that a person begins down a road of abuse. The word abuse, spelled, I think, comes from two words. The first word is, that's where the ab comes from, really means abnormal or inappropriate. And the last part is inappropriate use, abnormal use. When a person abnormally uses anything, use may go to a place where it is helping. But if you keep going, and this is true almost on everything, if you go so far with it, then it said, now you need to stop. Because if you get too much of that, its benefit starts going down rather than continuing to go up. Like water. If you drink way too much water, which is generally, for the most part, most of us don't have that problem. Most of us don't have a problem with drinking too much water. In fact, most of us probably have a problem of not drinking enough water. But they have come to understand that if you drink too much water, it began to flush out the essential things in your body. So you literally can use water and you can abuse water. There are some things that are not intended for human consumption. So at the beginning, they are abusive. They abuse. Abnormal use. Are you hearing me? The word that is mentioned in scripture a number of times that deals with abnormal use. One of those words actually is in the book of Exodus. Remember when the children of Israel were under bondage, harsh taskmasters. And the Bible tells us that they were abused. Here's that Hebrew word. It means to depress, to afflict. It actually means to remove dignity. Is to rob, to abnormally use. The children of Israel, and it's a good place to see this picture, they were invited as guests to Egypt. But after they grew, the people began, the new Pharaoh, especially that knew not Joseph, took his people and instead of using them, they abused them. When Moses says to the Pharaoh, God says, let my people go so they may serve me. And the Pharaoh says, if you all got time to serve God, that means y'all got time to collect your own straw, to make your own bricks, and and I don't want your production to go down. And they abused them. They abused them. But the good thing is, God set them free. God set them free. So whether that abuse or that affliction or that abnormal use is something done by an individual that is doing something to himself or getting involved with someone that does something to him, God is letting us know, number one, that he brings deliverance. I'm not going to deal with a lot of specific scriptures, generalizations, but let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. The word says here, know ye not that the unrighteous, I'm reading King James Version, shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Be not what? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators. Is that what he says? Neither fornicators. Nor idolaters. Nor, what's the next word? Adulterers. Nor effeminate, nor, what's that next one? Abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall what? Inherit or reign in the kingdom of God. Now, I probably need to touch a little bit on some of this, but the main verse I wanted the believers to get was the next verse. And such were some of you. And such were some of you, but ye are what? Washed. Here's what I wanted us to make sure that we're clear about. Verse 11 explains how the fornicators, the idolaters, the adulterers, the effeminate, the abusers of themselves with mankind, the thieves, the covetous, the drunkards, the revilers, the extortioners, how do they get free? But ye are washed. The first way that we become free is we get washed. I need to say that again. The first way that we become free is we get what? Washed. And in the book of Peter, 1 Peter, I believe it is, said we are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lamb. We are redeemed by the blood, and we are washed in the blood. We are cleansed by the blood. We are washed. He says, but ye are washed. Ye are washed. Let's back up a moment here. The word that we use probably most often in Christian circles that relates to a person who has been, who is unsaved, is you need to be forgiven and you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is true. To be forgiven means that all that would, that God would require to satisfy the penalty that is meted out for my error, my wrong, my sin, my disobedience, my rebellion, for everything, the thing that is necessary for that is that God needs to release me. And Jesus paid the price. He redeemed us. So we are redeemed. We are released from the penalty of sin by the price that he paid when he shed his own blood. But then he tells them, you are washed. So people who come to the Lord needs two things. toward the beginning. First of all, they need forgiveness. That means I don't have to pay anything to get what God has for me. But now he says, but you are washed. The first washing is being washed in the blood. The second washing is the washing of water by the word. Jesus said in the 17th chapter, I believe it is, of St. John, somewhere in there in those chapters here, he says something like this. You're clean through the words that I've spoken unto you. The word of God is one of God's cleansing agents. One of his cleansing agents. Why is that important? Because when a person has been in sin, whether you have been in bad sin or not so bad sin and just little bitty sins, you know, 10 ounce sins, or just never have ever accepted Christ as your savior kind of sin, is still sin. Amen. And I'm not by any means implying that all of them are the same, because they're all not the same. Even after a person is forgiven, think of forgiveness like this. Remember the example that Jesus gave to us about the two men? The king had one man brought in. And the man said, forgive me everything. Please forgive me. And the king forgave him the huge debt. That meant he was free. Had he not been forgiven, he would have had to be essentially thrown in jail. You know, I'm so glad that America does us a little bit better than that. We don't get thrown in jail because we get behind on bills. Y'all looking at me funny now. I mean, that's exactly what happened. He was behind on bills, and he was behind on his debt. He didn't have it, the money to pay. You know, you're talking about late. He was late. Amen. And the king threw him in jail. And he pleaded, and the king did a write-off. Say, you are free from this debt. You owe nothing. Glory to God. You owe nothing. That's forgiveness. Now, this same person had a bad heart. And so walked out with all of that forgiven, went outside, met somebody who owed him just a fraction of that, caught him by the throat, pay me. Threw him in jail. He was unforgiving. He wouldn't release him. And the people thought, you idiot. You mean-spirited. You ungrateful. And they went back and told the king. And the king sent word for him, come here. You know, I had written that off. But I'm getting ready to write it back in. Now you stay in just like, he didn't release his other friend, but he said, you stay in till you pay yours too. So with the same measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And so he ended up in a bigger mess. But it was tied to what forgiveness is all about, is releasing of debt. God, through Christ, paid the price for us to be released from debt, the debt of sin. But he also knows that once he releases us and the debt is paid, that doesn't mean we're fixed. See, that's actually the real issue. You are free from owing God something for the sin in your life, but sin is infective and infectious. So that once you are free from the penalty, now you need to be free from the sin itself. You need to be free from the infection of sin. So how does that happen? He said you get washed. You get what? Washed. You get washed. Washed. You get cleansed. You get all of the junk in you out of you. All the junk in you out of you. And then he says, and ye are what? Sanctified. You are washed. You are sanctified. Now, my time is really out, so I don't really have time to take you to that next level of what the sanctification is really all about. But let me just try to put a little something in there. It's important for a person to let God. The Bible says, sanctify yourselves and the God of peace will sanctify you. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Holy. He'll finish the job. What does that mean for us as believers? It means that God wants to get rid of the effect of things on us. Cleansed with the washing of the water by the word, cleansed by the blood, but then he wants to disinfect us, remove the contaminants from us. Sanctification. And then he shows us that part of it is our part. We sanctify ourselves. Jesus said, I did it. I sanctified myself so that these could be sanctified through the truth. So he detoxed himself. And the one other thing that you know that really helps you to understand what sanctification is all about. Jesus, who said, I sanctified myself, he also says, the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. The power of sanctification. You know, when I grew up, you know, people start talking about the sanctified church. You know, what they meant was the church of people that danced. But real sanctification is about a person having an encounter with God where sin no longer has a place to attach it. I won't turn that fan off. I see some. So, you know, God wants to deal with us in such a way that sin may be something that we do, but it's not something we do because we have no power to not do it. In fact, every person who sins, thank God we have an advocate with the Father. Hallelujah. Thank God. But all of us who sin, when we mess up, when we do something we shouldn't have done, we're able to look ourselves in the mirror and say, I could have not done that. I didn't have to do that. I did it because I just gave in to it. Not because I had to. Because there's no temptation that has taken me, but such as is common to man. Everybody else deal with the same thing. I'm no exception. All of us deal with the same thing. But God is faithful, who will not suffer me to be tempted or tested above what I'm able, but will with it leave a door open. You got a crack door so that I can escape. I can get out. I can get away. Amen. That's what he tells us. But with this, he's saying to us, I want to get you to the place as my children where you have an experience and an encounter with me that when the prince of this world comes, he doesn't have anything, because he does need a lack. Sanctification is, take it from me like this. Sanctification is God getting rid of the latch. He's getting rid of the hookup. And then the next part he says, and ye are justified. He's saying God takes you to be just, or justified is literally to be made as if you had never sinned. It's God taking you so far from your sin days that you are really a new creature in Christ. And then he says to them, and the thing that I'm pointing out to you is he's responding to all these things: fornication, idolatry, adultery, effeminacy, abusers with mankind, and that's actually talking about homosexuality, thieves, covetous, drunkards. We call it alcoholism, but it's the same thing, drunkenness, revilers, or extortioners. He says, these have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. But he says, this is the way you were, but you are washed. Now you are washed. Now you are sanctified. Now you are justified in the name of the Lord by the Spirit of God. And then look at the next verse, powerful verse to end on. All things are what? Lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but look at the next part, and every believer ought to be saying it. I will not be brought under the power of any. I will not be brought under the power of any. I will not be brought under the power of any. Meat is for the belly. Belly is for the meat. God shall destroy both it and them. But now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. Amen. Amen. That's God's reminder to us. That I am a God that brings you away from abuse and addictions. He's a God over it. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for the time you've given to us to meditate in the Word, to study the Word, to look into the Word. And Lord, we resolve. We don't want just soft stuff, mild stuff, tiptoeing stuff that causes us to miss heaven just to be comfortable down here on earth. We want to know the truth. And you said, and we will know the truth, Jesus Christ himself, and the truth shall make us free. We want to know Christ. We want to know his words. We want to know his teaching. We want to know his doctrine. We want to know what your word has to say. And Father, we have committed ourselves and even recommitting ourselves that whatever you say, we want to do it and do it to the glory of our God. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you right now that you're reminding believers that we are free, and he whom the Son set free is free indeed. You have liberated us, and we do not have to live in bondage and as slaves to sin. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Well, give the Lord a hand if you will, and praise God. Glory to God. We're going to receive whatever announcements that are available for us, and then we're going to, as we are preparing to worship the Lord in giving, and then we're going to give and be dismissed. Praise God.